This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See Kenneth Hackett says Pope Francis's audience Thursday with President Barack Obama sends an important message to the world that President Obama shares a deep respect for the Holy Father and his leadership on important moral and ethical world issues. I sat down with him and asked him, just how did President Obama's visit to the Vatican actually come about, and what sort of impact it may have had?
Before I left Washington in September, I extended to the president the hope that he would visit the Holy Father. And he let it be known that he really wanted to do that. Once here, after about 3 months, and I saw how the Holy Father was giving a lot of hope to the world that is troubled. And I saw that the Holy Father was deeply engaged in so many issues. I wrote back to Washington and said, I think now is the time. And sure enough, they came back shortly thereafter and said, okay, we will come. And
so it's all your fault.
No, certainly. No, they were able to conveniently add it to an important visit to the nuclear talks up north, and so this it was just wonderful. What impact? I think it sends an important message to the world and to Americans in particular that President Obama shares their deep respect for the Holy Father and what he's saying, how he is leading on big, important moral, ethical world issues. He is engaging the world where it is and leading people to a higher platform of think more deeply about what you're doing. One of the elements that came up, from what I understand, was this question of the role of the political leader and the role of the moral leader and how they complement each other. And I thought that was intelligent and wise and profound in a way.
How would you say the international media has been covering this visit? It seemed to me there was a lot of talk, perhaps too much, about who would gain most from this visit, Mr. Obama or the Pope. I mean, what did you make of all that coverage?
I don't think I can go on record of what I really made of all that coverage. But I found it kind of tortured at times. It's contrived. It almost seemed that some of the stories were written before the action took place. It was in the same way that people tried to characterize a tension that, in my opinion, doesn't seem to exist between Francis and Benedict. I mean, people were looking for something wrong when there was nothing wrong. And it was so wonderful at the consistory to see Pope Benedict come out and then have Pope Francis come and embrace him. And I think it was a little bit of that. Won't there be problems? Well, I believe that the president was looking to share and learn from the Holy Father. He had read things that the Holy Father had written and said, and he was impressed. He looked to the Holy Father maybe as a lead on, as I said earlier, on the moral issues that world leaders need to address as they take on problems of conflict and the search for peace and tensions. There was hope that Francis would kind of offer something, and I think maybe that happened.
The Vatican statement that was released after the meeting said that there was discussion on topics of particular relevance for the U.S. Church, such as the exercise of the rights to religious freedom, life, and conscientious objection, as well as immigration reform. Now, following the visit, Mr. Obama was talking to reporters and said the Pope and the Vatican have been clear on a range of issues. Some of them he differed with, but the majority he agreed with. Can you elaborate on that?
I'm not sure I can totally elaborate on what the Pope and the Holy Father talked about, because I wasn't there, obviously. But what the president said in his news conference following it, and I was present at the meeting with Cardinal Parolin. They talked in the meeting with Cardinal Parolin on a wide range of world issues of great importance, issues of peace and conflict and issues of problems in Latin America, the issues of immigration reform in the United States, and indeed the questions around the Affordable Care Act, where there has been a tension that exists between the Obama administration and the bishops in the United States, or at least some of them, that was discussed, not in great detail, because there was so many issues to discuss, but it was raised, and the Cardinal Parolin asked if there is not some room for dialogue, and the president said he wanted to. He said very specifically he did not want to be at odds with the church in the United States and didn't intend to be. And there were so many issues where interests converge that those shouldn't be overtaken or overwhelmed by the issues where there is principal disagreement.
And one of those issues, of course, is the eradication of human trafficking, which I know that you and your predecessors have been very, very committed to. To what extent do you see, is there a possibility for more collaboration between the Catholic Church and the U.S.?
Oh, I believe there can be. With the announcement just a couple of weeks ago of a new initiative on the part of the Holy See, in conjunction with the Anglican Church and some Islamic groups, to try to take on this issue on a worldwide and eliminate human trafficking. I know that we as a government want to be directly in partnership on it. This is a terrible abusive issue, and it's one that can be eradicated.
Now, Mr. Obama also at that press conference said the Pope, by shining the spotlight on the poor and social inequalities, the Pope is creating an environment in which those of us who care about this are able to talk about it more effectively. Now, Mr. Obama said the issue of young people and social media in this regard are really key. What was he talking about?
I believe that he took the writings of Francis, which he's read in part. The Pope has produced some wonderful writings that the president has read, and I think the president was very taken with Evangelium Gaudium and was picking pieces out of it because it interpreted for him what was in his heart and mind. What the Holy Father has done to engage young people is something magnificent, and not only as a politician, but as a president of the major world power. I mean, President Obama respects that and wants to see where there can be collaboration between the United States government and the Holy See and the Catholic Church.
You said Mr. Obama had already read bits of Evangelium Gaudium. The Pope gave him a copy yesterday.
A leather-bound copy, yes.
And Mr. Obama actually, from what I understand, said he was likely to read it every once in a while.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is, as you well know and your readers know, it is something you can put down and pick up. I had to give a speech a couple of weeks ago, and I pulled out those four points that the Holy Father raises about the groundwork that necessary for peace, time and space and those other elements. And it's something you can really imbibe in and bring into your life, your speeches and how you're thinking about things.
Now, there were some U.S. Catholics who were unhappy about this visit. Do you know if their attitude has changed to any degree after it actually took place?
I don't know how you could be unhappy about your president, whether you voted for him or not, meeting with the leader of the Catholic Church and the major world moral leader. I mean, it just seems not correct to me. You should take pride in that kind of engagement, that President Obama would go out of his way to come here, spend a good deal of time, and show the respect that I think is deep within his heart for what Pope Francis has done and said.
And you are speaking, of course, as a fellow Catholic.
I happen to be, yes, and have been for a long time.
Now, Mr. Obama said when he was speaking with the Pope or in the Vatican that they were speaking also about the Israeli-Palestinian issue, Syria and Lebanon. Now, we'll all remember that Mr. Obama had shown that he was ready to use force to end the conflict in Syria. How committed is the U.S. to resolving these crises with international attention now focusing on other areas of concern, such as Crimea, North Korea, and Iran?
Cardinal Parolin made a very poignant statement in this part of the discussion, and he basically said, in order to get an agreement, each and every party have to give up something. And that formed the basis of a longer discussion about how to deal with Syria, how to deal with Middle East peace, the situation of persecution of Christians throughout the area, the importance of peace in Lebanon and other areas. This was really the substance of what went on in much of the discussion, those kind of areas of peace and conflict, what can be done about it, how difficult it is, and how you must wrestle with not good solutions, inadequate solutions, but you've got to find the way. And we see that in Ukraine these days. You don't have the optimum, but you work with what you have.
Do you see there's space, more space, for the U.S. to work towards a negotiated agreement, peace agreement, between the different sides in Syria?
What was talked about is the necessity of dialogue, the necessity of asking the various, sometimes friends in the area and sometimes not so close supporters, to kind of work on the same page or work off the same page. The movement and support of some of the more radical elements in Syria is troublesome, and that was an issue that was discussed. And if groups could find that moderate way, I think. And the other point that was raised quite strongly by Cardinal Parolin is the concern for the humanitarian situation of the people. I mean, first and foremost, that has to be attended to, and there should be no blockage in that regard. People are suffering, and there are millions of them now, and they're moving from their home, and their lives have been disrupted. And this has to stop. So the humanitarian situation must be addressed. The peace situation, the interruption or halt to the support to the more radical elements in there. Those are the substance items.
I know there was also talk of religious persecution. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the issue was raised about the persecution of Christians and other minorities around the world, and there was a general sensitivity to it. My government is greatly concerned about that particular problem, not only in parts of the Middle East, but around the world. I know from my own experience, I mean, you had persecution of different religious minorities in Indonesia and in the Philippines and other parts of the world. So that was another concern that was raised, and I think there was common ground in support of that between the Holy See and President Obama.
Mr. Obama did say that he hoped to show the Pope around the White House garden. Of course, he gave a gift of some seeds from plants that are growing in the White House garden.
Seeds of hope.
And he hoped to show the Pope around if he should come to the U.S. Any further news about a possible visit?
Nothing further. The Holy Father, of course, said that he would love to come to the United States sometime, as he had said to the group from Philadelphia who arrived a week earlier, and as he will no doubt respond to Speaker Boehner, who has invited him to speak to a joint session of Congress. But I don't believe that there has been any decision made yet. As we all know, the Holy Father's schedule is complicated. His trip to Jordan, Israel, and Palestine in May, and then on to Korea and who knows where else in Asia coming up. This is setting the markers. So, of course, we hope that he will come to the United States. The World Meeting on the Families in Philadelphia in September 2015 is an important occasion, and it would be blessed to have Pope Francis arrive. And then it wouldn't be but a short hop to move down to Washington or anywhere else in the United States.
Okay, but you did mention the Holy Land, the Pope's trip in May, and that topic did come up in the conversations in the Vatican. Can you give us a little bit more detail about what was actually discussed?
No, there was a hope expressed on the part of the president to Archbishop Parolin that progress will be made. As you know, the Secretary of State arrived here. Now my days are getting cluttered, but he arrived here on Tuesday, left and went to Jordan on Wednesday for meetings with the Palestinians in Jordan. And it's all about loosening up the terms and seeing if progress can be made. And there's a great hope that progress will be made. But it's difficult. As I said earlier, referring to the statement of Cardinal Parolin, in an agreement, everybody has to give a little.